Today I'm going to talk about something that is a challenge to talk about, because it's not a conversation that pastors really like to preach from the pulpit, because it's not very exciting. It doesn't, you know, it's not the most positive one. And the challenge here is for me to say it in a way that I communicate that this is probably one of the most positive messages I can give. But it is very difficult for us to step into because of what we think about it. So let me start off with a joke, because, you know, I haven't done a joke before. I thought, you know, if I'm ever going to try a joke, let me try it before I talk about dying, right? Does that sound like a good time? So there's this guy in Arkansas, right? He's sitting with his barber, and he's talking about his will and how he tells him, you know what, I'm going to get buried at sea, you know? And the barber's like, you know, thinking this is Arkansas. There's like no water to be buried at sea around. He's like, so why do you want to be buried at sea? And the guy responds to him and says, well, my wife, she says she's going to be dancing on my grave. So if you didn't like that one, do you know why? Have you ever thought about this? Do you know why George Washington was buried at Mount Vernon? You ever wonder why? Because he was dead. Okay, that's all I got. That was my attempt at it, you know. I've seen preachers do this, and I'm like, I'm going to try this one day, you know. So let's get into this. John 12, 23. This is Jesus talking. Let me give you a little, I kind of like the front stories on some of these things, because Jesus has this way of just doing stuff you just don't expect, right? And so Andrew and Philip answer the door, and there's some Greeks at the door that want to come and talk to Jesus. So they go to Jesus and say, hey, do you want to see these Greeks, right? And this is Jesus' reply. The hour has come that the Son of Man be glorified. Completely ignores them. I'm the same way. I was like, I find that funny. He's like, okay, let me go in this direction. He says, very truly I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. Seeds are this amazing thing. Seeds are good, right? I love seeds, right? My wife's Asian. She's Korean. You know, I eat a lot of seeds, specifically rice, pretty much every day, right? Some of us like seeds. We like beans, right? If you like bread, it's made of seeds. Seeds are good. But you know, one seed isn't all that impressive, right? Can't do a whole lot with one seed unless it dies, right? You put that baby in the ground, it could produce more. If you took that and you put that in the ground, it would do more. And if you took, you follow me? So the nature of seeds is they're supposed to die. They're actually made to die. They're at their best when they die. And when they die, they transform into something else. When they die, they actually produce more of the good stuff. Now, when you talk about this, we talk about dying, you know, and Jesus brings up these topics, most of us don't run and look for this in the Bible. I mean, when's the last time you look for the scripture on Jesus telling you you need to die? You're like, hey, let me go find that scripture. I'm going through something really hard. Let me go find that scripture, right? That's like the one we avoid. It's not the one you run to. There's a reason for that. Part of the reason is the way we understand death, the way we experience death, our viewpoint on death is not very positive, right? If you think about it, just in the natural, we know we're followers, right? We're followers of the King of Kings. When we die, we get to go to heaven, right? And our life is like this, and I don't got long arms long enough to describe what our life is on the other side of this. And it's amazing. It's like, great. You would think that when one of us dies, we'd be like having a party. Yeah. Right? But we still feel loss. We process it through the lens of loss. We feel pain. That's the only way we know how to process it, really. I mean, it takes an act of faith to see the other thing and let that be bigger than what you're experiencing. So just in the natural, the whole idea of death is a painful experience. And so it's because of we only see one side of the coin. We can't see the other side that we struggle when Jesus starts talking about death too. Think about Jesus' death. That's what he's talking about here. In his death, it was extremely painful for the apostles to experience it, for him to experience it. But the amount of pain was nothing compared to the life that followed. His life beforehand was amazing. His life afterhand, that was off the charts because of what happened. He brought life to everybody that wants it. Are you following me? But if you would have asked the apostles, they did not see that coming. Not one of them saw it coming. Not one of them was like, wow, this is amazing. Jesus gets to die. This is going to be awesome. Because they couldn't process it through a lens that could actually see what was beyond death. That's why we struggle so much with this. You know, the last time I talked, I talked about Power Rangers. That was the title. For those that weren't here, I know it doesn't sound spiritual. Okay, I know that. You had to be here. Right? I had a lot of fun with that one. I was talking about, and understand too, if you're not used to what we do here, I don't come here, Dwayne doesn't come up here without hearing from God. I hear God before I come up here. If I'm not hearing God, I'd probably be calling Dwayne up saying, dude, I'm not hearing nothing. You need to go, you need to take this one. Because that's how we do it, right? So I was talking about what God was talking to me about how amazing we are, and we're just like crazy amazing people, and we don't know who we are. You know, we inside of us, there is power, there's anointing, there's gifting, there's abundance, there's overflow, there's just gifts operating. There's all kinds of stuff that's inside of us. And that's what we've been talking about for years now. We've been focusing on who we are, who you are. That's what we do. That's what ministry does, is help you discover who you are. But we've reached this place where as we try to push into that, we have to deal with something. We can't become who we are without dying first. That's why this message is so important. It has been a rough couple of days for me getting ready for this. This has been the hardest message for me to prepare for. God has been talking to me about dying. And the weight of this, personally, and for what it means to the church, has been on me. And it's not a negative thing. It's not like I'm afraid to do it, afraid to talk about it. It's just, it comes with so much. And I know this is a challenging topic. But there is, this is not about death. It's about life. It's about what we receive when we're willing to step into what we're designed to step into. And what we're designed to step into is death. I'll explain that more as we go along so that you'll get some context around that. So it's important that we understand too what I'm not saying. What I'm not saying is that you need to beat yourself up, that you need to do penance, that you need to do things that load it on, as if that helps you become more holy, okay? That is not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is following God and following his voice. Trust me, that's hard enough already. That's the death I'm talking about, everything that goes along with that. See, because our death is not more important than his death. And we can't move our death along by beating ourselves up and putting on stuff on us that God did not put on us. That does not get you to where you want to go. Okay, so I want to make that very clear. What he did at the cross was everything that needs to be done for us to be successful, except for our part in agreeing with it. So with that in mind, let's keep going on the scripture. So on verse 25, he continued by saying, anyone who loves their life will lose it. Anyone who hates their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Death is the only way to find life. There is no other way to find life. What we're looking for comes through experiencing some death. You have been promised absolutely amazing things. When you first started doing this thing, last week, yesterday, today, you hear God talk to you about what he's promising in your life. And I'm not talking about things. Things are like down on the bottom of the list. I'm talking about identity, who you are. Okay, all of that you are going to access through life, through death. Life and death go together. In the same way the seed, inside the seed is everything to produce an abundance of life. It is already there. It transforms when it's in the ground. Under the right conditions, you put it in the ground, it will transform. That's what you're made to do, is to transform. So then he says this, whoever serves me must follow me. And where I am, my servant also will be. My Father will honor the one who serves me. Death is the only way to follow Jesus. If I'm trying to follow him in a way that I'm not experiencing some death in my life, I would venture to say I'm not actually following Jesus. It literally is the only way. As you follow him, there's no way you're going to get around some things dying. And again, we'll talk about what that is. John 12, 27 says this. After he said all this, right? And remember, he's talking about his death. Listen to what he says next. He says, now my soul is troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? No. It was for this very reason I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Death is a choice. You have to choose it. It doesn't happen through osmosis. It doesn't happen because you come here on Sunday and listen to messages. It doesn't happen because you listen to somebody on the TV, on the radio, on the internet. You listen to messages over and over again. Those do not bring the death that needs to happen for life to happen. You have to choose it. It doesn't happen to you. That's important because we wonder why we're not able to step into stuff and we don't realize where the battle is. We don't realize we're choosing things, but we're not choosing the thing that we're designed to choose to receive the life that we're going to receive. So let's talk about what dying is. If you've spent any time in this house at all, you will know our theme almost every single Sunday is related to hearing and following God's voice. Guess what? This is about hearing and following God's voice. This is the central theme of what it means to be a Christian. I get bolder and bolder about making statements around this as I mature in hearing his voice and following. You know why? Because the more I do it, the more I see what I hadn't seen before, and what I see is this is the most important thing. Everything comes down to this. This is where the dying happens. It happens in hearing him communicate to me and me choosing what he is saying versus what I think, versus what I feel, you know, what should be and shouldn't be, what the beliefs that I was given as I was a child, the beliefs that I acquired when I first came into the church, whatever those are, whatever that construct is of the way I believe about God, the way I believe about myself, the way I believe about other people, or the way I believe about situations, right? I guarantee you, if you are not experiencing just this overflowing, amazing abundance of life, there's something wrong with the way you believe. I hope that doesn't offend you. I hope you engage in that and go, wow, that's where the battle's at. That's where the dying's at. See, now I have control over it, because I'm not under this illusion that it's something else. I know exactly where it is. I can actually make a choice and say, okay, I'm going to go run to that battle. They're like really quiet. I know this is deep. I know this is deep. Like I said, I probably got dehydrated a couple times just from crying for the last 2 days over this. Every time I got into the message, I was blubbering too when I did the prayer on Saturday. I just couldn't help but cry. It was just so weighty to this. So, but if you feel like you want to throw an amen in there, make me feel better, hey, I'd love it. So it's all about hearing and following. Now, if I am choosing, let's say whatever I'm doing in my life, I come to these points and times, and I'm choosing the what, the where, the why, and the how, I want to present to you that if you're choosing that, you might not be following. Because by definition, if you're hearing him talk to you about something, and you're saying, okay, God, what do you want to do? How do you want to do it? Right? Then he's the one driving, and I'm just agreeing with him. If I'm choosing it, I'm the one driving. And that's how most of us do it. Most of us do this where, okay, God, where do you want to go? What do you want to do? And then I'll decide if I want to go with you. Right? And that's completely different than getting out of the seat, getting into the passenger seat, and going, okay, you get to drive. I am with you, whatever you want to do. Those are two very different things. He is okay, to a degree, with you driving. Because he'll let you do that as long as you want to do that. And in the process, he wants to show you, you're probably not going to get where you really want to go. And he's okay with that. Now, part of this hearing is following is there is a willingness daily, a daily willingness that needs to be a part of this equation. Paul made this statement. He said, I die daily. You know what he was talking about? He wasn't talking about, you know, it gets resurrected every single day, even though they were trying to kill him all the time. Yeah. What he was talking about is he was dying to what he believed. God would be like, hey, this is who you are. Okay. He would agree with that. Right? His willingness is like, whatever you want, God, I'm willing. I want to hear from you today. I want to know today what you want to talk about. And I'm with you. I am with you. It doesn't matter what it is. I am with you. Okay, we get to go over here to get stoned. Okay. You know? I know if I go over there, they're probably going to throw me in jail, but okay. Right? Now when I say that, because that's how we process it, right? We look at Paul, we're like, yeah, that's what he did. This is specifically for you, right? God's not asking you to be Paul. He's asking you to be you. Okay? He equipped Paul to be Paul. He's equipping you to be you. Right? So if you look at that and you go, I can't do that. Well, duh. You're not Paul. Okay? So you can just let that one go and realize that he's giving you everything you need to do exactly what he's asking you to do. Commitment is part of this too. I understand it is difficult to give up self. I understand. You know, as I was getting ready for this message, okay, for those that don't know, I am an entrepreneur now, you know, and I've got a couple of businesses that I'm actually working in, and I've invested a lot in it. It was hard as he's working this in me for me to come to the place where I'm like, okay, God, you know what? You can have it all. I am okay with whatever you want on my business. I'm invested in that. And I'm not just talking time. You know? And we've been working it for a couple of years. There's a lot of energy that went into that. And I realized that the possibility he might say, okay, well, I want you to give it away. You know, that goes along with it. I understand. There's a difficulty to this, but do you know what? It is actually very simple. You know how simple it is? This is Tony, one of our elders. He loves this saying. He's like, just say yes, Lord. That's really how simple it is. But it's not easy. I understand that. Trusting is also part of this. See, you don't get to understand what's going on until after you agree. Just so you know, for all you intellectual people, I am one of those people. I like to think things through, make my plans, get all my ducks lined up, you know, probably lining them up too long, you know, because you gotta be really straight before you start moving. All you ones that are married to somebody like that, you know exactly what I'm talking about, right? You don't need to understand it, to agree with it. In fact, it's just the opposite. The definition of faith is I don't understand it, but I agree with it. Because I can't see it. I don't know what it's going to look like. But God, if you're saying it's true, it's true. So that applies with doing things, but it also applies to who you are. If God says, hey, you are this, and we're like, I don't understand that. That doesn't make sense. God wouldn't say that. I don't agree with that. You see what I'm saying? That's where the battle is, right there. That is where the battle is, right there. That's what dying looks like. Dying is, okay, he says this is true. I don't think that way. I can't see it, but it's true. It's true. And you get up in the morning, it's true. And you get up the next day, it's true. And you get challenged by God saying, hey, now I want you to use it. Ooh. That's when you know if you believe it. Or if you're still fighting the battle. Because you'd be like, I know it's true. And you step into it, and bam, it happens. Right? Like he says, I'm going to use you to heal people. And you step into it, bam, it happens. Right? Or you're going to be amazing at communicating as a father. Whatever it is. But you have to be committed to that. You have to trust him that what he's saying is true, even though it has not been your reality up until this point. The next one is reliance. This doesn't rely on your ability. In fact, it purposely does not rely on your ability. It's designed not to rely on your ability. Because if it did, it wouldn't be dying. It would be easy. There are some things I'm really good at. It's amazing how he never tries to talk to me about those things. He's always picking the things I don't believe. What's up with that? Could it be it's by design? That the stuff that I can do in my own ability, they already have ability to do, he's like, yeah, that's cool. But that's not really who you are. Let me show you who you are. And it's much better than cool. That's a hard thing to do sometimes. The last point of this is dying is truly living. That's what this whole talk is about. When we submit ourselves, agree with the fact that, you know what, this is what the process is, and I'm going to jump in both feet, you're going to start living in ways you've never dreamt. Jesus said, I have come to give you life, and life more abundantly. Right? There are not words to describe what he's trying to say. And this is huge. Your death is like this compared to what he's giving you on the other side of it. And that's what it's like. You get confronted with this, he's giving you this. You get confronted with this, he gives you this. And it's like this. It doesn't really stop, just so you know. So let me give you some example of what it looks like. Like for a new believer, everybody in this room knows this, experienced this. When you came to Jesus for the first time, you felt him tugging on you. And it kind of goes something like this. Will you follow me? Will you choose me more than your parents? More than your friends? More than fill in the blank? And you chose him. You're like, oh, yes. That's what it's like for a new believer. For someone that has a reputation before they come, it might look like this. Jesus asking you, will you give up your reputation for mine? Are you willing to look stupid so that I could be great? How about if you have low self-esteem? What if you don't even think of yourself as much at all? You're just like, I am nothing. He might be asking you, will you agree with me with what I'm saying is true about you? And stop resisting me? What about a person that is offended with somebody else? If you haven't had that happen yet, just wait. It's coming. It might look something like, will you choose to forgive them even though they don't deserve it? Even more than that, will you choose to love them even though they stabbed you in the back? See, that's what dying looks like. If you're confused about the struggles you're going through, as if you're thinking that they're like that little voice that keeps talking to you about these things, if you're confused what that is the voice of God. That's what it sounds like. How about for every single one of us, will you choose to love people that are unlovable? The person that you think doesn't deserve it. The person that you think wouldn't be able to respond to it. Whatever that person is, will you love them just because I do? See, that's what dying looks like. Jesus attempted to communicate this in a lot of different ways. You know, and so just so a red letter series, if you don't know what a red letter series is, that, you know, in the Bible, red letters are Jesus' words. So I'm going to be like all over stuff Jesus is saying. John 13, 12 says this. Now, remember, on this one, he just washed his disciples' feet, okay? And understand, this is a big deal, okay? He is the rabbi. He is the teacher. If anybody's going to be washing feet, it's going to be the students. But he chooses to wash their feet. Now, it's hard to understand in culture how this works, right? But they lived in a place where they didn't have shoes like we have shoes. Their shoes were sandals. And their roads were full of donkey dung and horse dung and goat dung and sheep dung and a lot of dung. You know, and if you came home after a hard day, traveling around, walking in dung, your wife would be like, dude, you better wash your feet, right? That's why it was so important. And remember, they sat on the floor. See, my wife is Asian, right? I met her in Korea. First house, this is cool, I'm going to share this with you, this is like for free. It actually had rice paper doors, you know? In the wintertime, it was crazy cold, right? That was not insulated in the slightest. You know, it had these rice paper doors. It was elevated, right? So you'd take your shoes off and you'd leave your shoes, just like in the movies, you know? You leave your shoes down there. You step up on the platform, right? I guarantee you, if I wore those shoes I'd been walking in the streets with into the house, right? That's the same kind of thing going on here. Culturally, there's a reason for this. Very practical reason and very important reason. It was done all the time. So he washes their feet. He says this, do you understand what I have done for you? You call me teacher and Lord, and rightfully so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you should wash you should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly, I tell you, no servant is greater than the master, nor is the messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. Dying is a verb. It is an action. See, there is no instance that I can think of, there might be one out there, qualify that, where when he's talking to you about something, about who you are, who he is, where you're not going to find a way of putting that into practice. It's always going to come into practice. Even in ways that you might not, it might not occur to you until later on. Because that's what dying is. It's serving in such a way that as you do the things that you're designed to do, be who you are designed to be, what's going on in here is going to come out here. John 15, 12 and 4 says this, my command is this. First part, my command, I just want to kind of show you this, right? Is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life, which is dying, for a friend. You seeing that? I mean, this topic is all through Jesus' teachings. If you're not catching it, dying is an act of love. When we die the way we're designed to die, it actually brings into us a love. If it's not showing up as love, it might not be the kind of death you're supposed to be operating. The death that he does in us, it actually produces something in us that brings out love. And it looks at our brothers and sisters, I'm not talking about the ones just in the church, but the ones not in the church, and starts operating in love. The more death I have in me, the more love I have in me. If I'm struggling with love, I'm struggling with death. Then he says this, you are my friends. If you do what I command, you are my friends if you do what I command. It's not optional. Isn't this great? Like, this is like the best message I've ever heard, right? Like, yay, Sean, I am so glad you're pointing all this stuff out to me. Death is not an option. He is not saying to you, hey, if you want to die, cool. If you don't, hey, no problem. Everything's going to be great. That's not what he's saying. He's saying, if you're going to follow me, then follow me. You're going to do what I say. And realize, it's remember, we talk about hearing and following, right? When he's talking to you, he's not giving you suggestions. This took me a little while to figure out. It really did. Because I was under the impression I can come on Sunday, take what I want, not to, you know. It was all about what the preacher was preaching. If that was true, right, you know, it was to the degree that, well, if the guy's not hearing God, yeah, that works, right? But now if I start hearing God, that is taken off the table. In fact, I didn't even tell this to the first service. That's one of the reasons why we don't want to hear God. Because we know if we hear him, then we're, man. See, then I can't say, well, that was just him. Yeah? It's not optional. Now, if you're not ready to do it, if you're not able to do it, he is okay with you going through the process. Okay? He is okay with the process. He's not frustrated. He's not ready to whack you. He's not disappointed in you. He's not spanking you. I mean, we use that term in church a lot, that, you know, God's going to spank you. Right? That's not really true. The devil spanks you. But God's like, hey, go for it. You know? I don't know if you got that. And the reason why is like, daddy's like, okay, if you don't want to do what I'm saying, that guy will help you. That's literally what it is. He's a teacher. Yeah, and he doesn't even know what he's doing. He thinks he's the man with the plan. God's like, yeah, no problem. Watch, he'll help you out. Yeah. And when we experience enough of that, we're going, okay, I need life. I need something. This is not working. You know, and then we're going back to talk to that. He said, hey, I'm gonna talk to you about the same thing I talked to you about before. Okay? That's where we're going to start the conversation. So let's look at Matthew 20, 22 through 28. I love this. I love this. I like the setup on this one. Somehow James and John convinced their mom, right? Why don't you go ask Jesus if we can sit on thrones on his right and left? And she's like, okay. You know, if you think the apostles were like perfect, okay, no, trust me, they were just like us. Yeah. And so they come and ask him, and his response is, you don't know what you're asking. Jesus said to them, can you drink the cup that I'm going to drink? You know, they're like, yeah. You know, and he's like, oh, man, really? You have no idea what you're talking about. But, you know, but then again, he's like, well, actually, yeah, you're going to die too. You will indeed drink from my cup, but to sit on my right hand and my left, that's not for me to give. These places belong to those whom they have been prepared for by my Father. Right? And I love this part. And then the 10 heard this, and they were indignant on the two brothers. That means they wanted to punch them. They were like, what's wrong with you guys? You know, they're probably thinking, what about us? You don't want us to sit there? So Jesus calls them together, and this is what he says to them. You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. So he's pointing out how the leaders typically rule the people. And this is what he says, not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to be great among you, remember options, there's no options here, must be the servant. And whoever wants to be first must be the slave. Death is how we lead. At New Life, we do this on purpose. For those that haven't figured out exactly how we lead, I want to share with you how we see this and how we operate in this. Jesus is all about helping you step into identity, right? My role as a leader is to help you step into identity. It is more important for me to help you than for you to make me happy. I don't need you to make me happy. You know, that's a whole other issue, right? But it ain't about making me happy. It ain't about making Dwayne happy, right? We literally see ourselves as serving you so that you could be amazing, right? The ministry of this house, we are not it. We are not all that. We are here because God told us to help you become the ministry, right? If you look in Scripture, you know, they call it the fivefold ministry. It's not the fivefold ministry. It's the fivefold equippers. That's what they do. They equip the people for the ministry. Okay? That's who you are. You are the ministry of Jesus Christ. I have to die to lead properly. I can tell you, I was, you know, as you heard earlier, I was in the Army. Okay? They did not teach that in the Army. They taught the opposite. I was to help you die. I'm going to help you die. And we can do that. There's a lot of leadership that's the only way they know how to operate. That's the only way they've been taught. I'm not beating them up. But that's not the way we lead. When we lead, whether it's a church, whether it's a team, whether it's co-leading with somebody and you're walking beside them to help them walk out their salvation, whether it's leading somebody to Christ, whether it's leading your family, this is how you lead. You lead through death. You have to be more interested in the other person finding out who they are and facilitating that than you are about you being right, about getting things done the way they're supposed to get done. I can't tell you how many times I struggle with somebody. It's like, I know they can't see something, and man, they really need to see this. And, you know, I start getting frustrated because they're putting a kink in the works. You know, things would just run so much better if they would just do what they're supposed to do. You know, and I go talk to God, and he's like, I don't know what your problem is. You know, he's like, you just need to love them more. You know, they don't see something. And if you'll follow me on how I want to do it, I'll actually show them what they haven't seen. That's a very different way of leading. But that's what we're designed to do. We call this, we specifically, so anytime we use the name honor, leading through honor, That's what we're talking about. Honoring what God is saying is true about you more than what he's saying about me. That's what we do. I want to show you something that I want to end on. If we go back to that first scripture, he ended this by saying something that I purposely left out and I saved till now because I want to show you who you are. Remember he said, "Now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour." No, it's for this very reason I came. It's for this very reason you were chosen. Because he started praying, he said, "Father, glorify your name." God spoke to everybody in the room. And he said, "I have, and I will again." When I read that, I started crying because he showed me something I never saw before. He glorified his name in Christ because Christ was already submitted. He will again in us. We are the glory of God. When we submit to him, when we agree with him and we're like, we are all in and we're going to go with you wherever you want to go. I'll love people the way you want me to love people. I am in. Whatever I have is yours. My relationships are yours. My children are yours. My business is yours. He gets glory in that. That's the seed as it's dying. And what comes next is this abundance of life. Remember, I talked about the weightiness of this. One of the reasons why this is so weighty, I want to share with you, God is talking to this house. We want revival. We're looking for revival. He told me, he said, "You cannot fail." And I'm telling you, this is from God. If you want me to say, "Thus saith the Lord," I'll add that to it. Okay? You cannot fail. The thing he is calling this house to, the part that you play in all of that, your personal life, your family, you cannot fail. The second part was, you could only fail to die. Everything you need, he is giving you, but it's contained in his voice. It's in the agreement with what he's saying. It's in fighting the battle and the giants in the land. If you want to go around the mountain for 40 years, you can do that. That was an act of love on his part. He wasn't whacking them when they kept going around the mountain and they were dying. The reason why is they tried to go into the promised land the first time. They couldn't go in because they didn't believe. And when every belief died off, all of a sudden, now they were ready to go in. And they were just, they're like, "Yes, we can take the land." Wherever you are in the process, he is okay with. But there is no process without dying. And the end result of whatever death you're stepping into is life, is this unbelievable thing that we call revival. And it's going to show up in ways that are going to blow your mind. And it's you that the revival is taking place in. Any one of you that wants this to be a part of who you are, it is within your grasp. God is not withholding anything from us. It is ours. We're stepping into 21 days of prayer in August. We think that it's an exercise in religion. And it can be. But if we come to it and say, God, what are you saying is true? God, what do you want to talk to me about fasting in my life? How do I, what is the thing that's keeping me from moving closer to you? What do you want to talk about? Do you, God, I want to see how I am connected to this house and how I'm supposed to be walking in unity and understanding the power of unity. When we step into this 21 days, it's going to be integral for moving into our next stage. You are integral in that. You don't know who you are yet if you don't realize, man, that's an important thing to be a part of. You just don't realize yet who you are. You shake the heavens. In your house, you shake the heavens. In the places that you step into, you shake the heavens every time you agree with God. So let's stand.